Got it right here. Someone always taking Liam Neeson shit, man. And getting the ass beat for
it. This man's just trying to live his life.
He's just trying to live. He's just
y'all trying to, y'all kidnapping his daughter or killing his son.
Yeah. This is the man just trying to, this is a man just trying to have things.
Right.
And people just keep taking it. And like I said, and getting y'all's asses whooped. And some half the time, I think y'all just doing it as a challenge now.
Right. The Liam Neeson challenge.
Take Liam Neeson's shit without getting your ass whooped challenge. So far, nobody has has won.
Well, I think that wolf won.
Yeah. We don't know. I think so. No, I don't. I have my money on Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson had them little Tabasco bottles on his ass. I think if you look, if you know his last friend, that wolf was like, shit.
Oh, man, I ain't know it was you.
Now somebody took his snowplow, and he's mad. Oh, and they killed his son,
they
too.
They killed his son.
But that plow meant a lot to him. And you know what? Normally, people would root for Liam Neeson, but people ain't too happy with Mr. Neeson these days, Lee. You know, it was bad that he was making taking over and over and over again, taking on a plane, taking on a train, and then people find out that taking was might have been a true story. The most racist version of taking out taking the prequel. Where is that black bastard? And oh, you know, shit got too real. You know, things turn ugly, man. If anyone could use a good movie right now, it could be Liam Neeson. And we're going to see if this film is actually that good movie that Liam Neeson needs so much. And, you know, it looks like it's an uphill battle already because, you know, this is it does look like another. It looks like we said, taken with a snowplow in the snow. And look, we can't blame anybody for thinking that. Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer one more time. Maybe we'll find something new, and we'll tell you if this is actually maybe a new, decent version of Taken, or who knows? Could be something different this time.
I'm very honored to be named Kehoe Citizen of the Year. I'm just a guy who keeps a strip of civilization open. When you drive the same road day after day, it's easy to think about the road not taken. I was lucky. I picked a good road early, and I stayed on it.
Mr. Coxman?
What can I do for you?
It's about your son.
I thought it's about your name. The fuck, really? You can change that, you know.
I think my name is cool.
Yes. I'm Coxman, yes.
He died of a heroin overdose.
We didn't know our own son.
Kyle wasn't a druggie.
Sorry, but all the parents say that.
You're going to have to say a few words.
Kyle's dead. Tell me what happened.
He got mixed up with some drug dealer. Viking. He likes hurting people.
What is it with all these nicknames? Speedo, Viking, Eskimo.
It's a gangster thing.
Did you have a nickname?
Wingman.
Wingman. I'm going to kill him. No, those guys.
One guy can disappear. Two, who wants me dead?
Three of Viking's drug dealers have disappeared.
What makes you think you can kill a man?
I read it in a crime novel. What are you doing?
More cowbell.
Martin was over here. Cowboy up in my ear. Get away, man.
This doesn't happen in Kehoe.
It just did. Jesus don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Come on, baby, don't fear the reaper. Baby, take my hand.
Nels Coxman, Citizen of the Year. Good for him.
All right, let me start out by saying that I'm not one to turn away business. All right. You know, what we do depends on an audience, views, eyeball, ears, all that kind of stuff. But if you plan on seeing this film anytime in the near future, don't listen to this review. Just get out of here. Just go somewhere, do something else, come back in about 20 minutes or whatever. Because believe me, no pun intended right here. No, actually, you're going to blame me for it anyway. So, yes, it is. It's better to go in cold. So I told you. See, that's why I didn't want to do it. I thought about it.
There was no other way to say
it. There was no other way to do it, man. Thank you, Serenity. You know, thank you.
Shit. There was no other way.
There was no other way to. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, and I looked at you and I was like, shit.
No, man, I'm not going to jump on you for that.
I really wasn't trying to make a pun, but I said there's no other way to do it. So pun intended.
It happens that way sometimes.
Yeah, it's just no other way to do it, man. Go in without knowing anything about this. And believe me, you need the reaction that you get thinking that you're going to see a Taken film. So go, please go away. Did he leave? No, get the fuck out of here. Oh, is he gone? Okay.
Trying to help you.
Yeah. Trying to help you. All right. You know, good. Because I'm sorry that I went in with the things that I know. I wish I had gone in here treating this in my mind. I was prejudiced with this. In my mind, I was like, good, another goddamn Taken ripoff. How many times is this man going to do this movie? I don't care if you in the snow doing it this time. It's the same thing. And as I said, watching this trailer, it really is, like I said earlier, it really does look like Taken on a snowplow, Taken in the snow, Taken in the Arctic or whatever they are, wherever they are, which I know they are, but you don't know where they are when you look at the trailer. It's not that. You know,
it's what's funny is when you last showed the trailer, we talked about the whole Liam Neeson thing, and when they brought up those ridiculous nicknames, I was kind of laughing and heard him mention something about it being dark and comedic, and that's what made me go see it. I was like, you know what? I think despite this marketing, I think this is a dark comedy, yeah. And I want to check it out.
Yeah, and you know what? And no one can blame you for going in thinking that. Some of you already seen you've already seen some interviews and some probably reviews of this where they've described it. But you really the less you know, the more you need to have a natural reaction to just the weirdness that this movie takes on certain points. And no one can blame you. I don't even blame myself as much as I was being prejudiced about this film. No one can blame you for going in thinking that this is going to be another Taken film. I would even say that early on in the movie, with very, very microscopic exceptions, it plays out like a Taken film.
It really does.
He goes places. Listen, you know how it is. Somebody does something to him. He tracks down the bad guys. Bad guys look at him. Even when he's bigger than them, they got shit to say. Mm-hmm. He says, "Don't talk shit to me. Beats the fuck out of them." You know. Usually ends with death, and he goes on to the next person to rinse and repeat. Starts out like that very early in this movie.
Dante says hello.
I don't know any Dantes.
Yes, you do. He worked at the Kehoe Airport with my son, Kyle. You know him too. Tell me what happened.
All right, Pops, there's the door, all right? Now, I don't know what igloo you crawled out of, but I think it's time you crawled back in. And trust me, that's your best move.
Bitch, don't you ever turn your ass on.
I know.
Don't you ever turn your back on Liam Neeson. Are you stupid? Don't you ever turn your back on Liam Neeson, man.
Well, don't threaten anybody and then just turn your back on him.
Yeah, don't exactly. I don't care if you got a gun.
It's like that gun's not in your hand right now. You do know that.
Yeah. Don't, you know, especially when somebody's got this look on their face, don't turn your back on them, man. That's somebody don't give a fuck about that gun that you got. Yeah, you know, after that ass whooping, I'm going to let Mark take it from there. After that ass whooping right there, that's where we end Takenville.
and that's what, 10 minutes into the movie?
That's 10 minutes into the movie. We in a whole different city after that. You know, because after that, It's funny because Liam Neeson gets pushed out the movie kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, all these characters start coming in. If you look at the trailer, you see a lot of besides Liam Neeson, you see a lot of people. You know, you got two cops that come in that kind of like they're from Fargo. You got you get all these gangsters with funny names, with their own subplots, and they're all cracking jokes and they're funny. Like Taken 2 and 3 were unintentional comedies. It's almost like this movie just embraced itself as another Taken version that says, you know what, this is ridiculous. Let's make it funny and actually try to be smart about it again.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned the two cops. The thing is, yeah, this movie is a lot more like Fargo than it is Taken. It's only that beginning, but it's that it's a crime thriller in the North that's mm-hmm. that's darkly comedic. I mean, it's really black comedy, and it sneaks up on you because at first stuff is just happening that seems like plot holes are kind of ridiculous, and then you're like, wait a minute,
yeah,
that's. This movie has been too smart to do something this ridiculous unless it's on purpose.
Exactly. No, no.
I mean, it takes you a while to kind of go like, hold on.
Yeah.
This is – all right. They know what they're doing here.
Well, the funniest part of it is – and the funniest thing is the funniest character in here, which is the main villain, Tom Bateman, as Viking. This – you know, now in any other movie, in any other Taken movie, like you don't see the main villain – until like the end of the movie. He's usually the head mob guy, the head honcho, the last boss in the video game. He's the one that talks the most shit and gives Liam Neeson the most challenge.
Right, right.
This dude kind of pushes Liam Neeson out of his own movie, and he's hilarious, man. He's slimy in the most entertaining way. Tom Bateman is a British actor, actually, but I forgot that.
That makes sense because his American accent was too weird. I was so like,
but that's what made it funny.
I can't tell where this guy's from. I should have known he was British.
He has, and this one, you know that you are really in comedic territory. He has this thing where he makes sure that his son is on the most insane health diet.
Right.
You eat chicken and rice. He says, I made this list right here. Chicken and rice for breakfast. Chicken and rice for lunch. Chicken and rice for dinner. And then the wife is like, you don't even get a snack anything?
Every day? No. On Tuesdays, he gets beef and broccoli for breakfast, dinner, and lunch.
Yeah. He's got a warped sense of work ethic. Guys fear him, but his wife beats the shit out of him.
Ex-wife.
He's a hilarious character, man. And when you see his performance, and I wish I had a clip, but I don't, because I really like that character, man. And you know, and don't even get me started on the Native American mob.
I love that Native American mob.
Yeah.
I was like, I would just want a movie with these guys.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's at a point where that look on Liam Neeson's face, that's confusion. He's like, well, shit, this is my movie. At least I thought. All these people come.
Well, you know, that's another thing with Liam Neeson's character. He's not ex-special forces or anything like that. He's just a father who's just mad his son got killed.
He's the world's most badass snowplow driver.
Yeah.
He like the Punisher of snowplow drivers, man. You know, that makes it even weirder because it's like this guy, he's just driven by anger. And even after a certain point, they even kind of hint that maybe he's just crazy because they don't even like get into the sun that much after that. Like the sun is just kind of he becomes like an afterthought later.
Well, it is so quick how like this. Here's a character who his power is that he's got nothing to lose. His mm-hmm. son has been killed. His wife just leaves him suddenly, and he's at a point.
Well, we don't want to give away too much now.
He's ready to give up on life, but the one thing that's keeping him going is his revenge.
Yeah, yeah, and like I said, man, you know, it goes into Punisher territory where you just like, okay, this guy, is he killing because he just got a taste for it the first time, and it's just fun and it's good, you know, because I could say they don't even mention the sun that much anymore after a while. I mean, it's mentioned, but not that much. It's not like it's a driving force where he's just sitting back and like, my boy, you know, it's like there's other characters in there that actually seem to have more emotions towards their children than he does. Not to say he's a bad character. It's you know, this is an action movie. I know that they did this on purpose, make it as darkly comedic as they did, but they pay so much attention to like trying to stick to the drama and the action and making that a priority and then putting the humor in there where it's appropriate that it seems like it's an action film that just doesn't know how funny it is.
Okay. So here's the thing about this. Cause I kept thinking that too. I was like, man, between being an action film and being a dark comedy, it's, it doesn't quite know how to meld these things correctly. It's like sometimes it's one thing and sometimes the other. And it's like it doesn't know what it is. And a big motif about it is people getting killed and them showing you their name afterwards. Like, that, hey, you know, it's almost like the Hunger Games where a cannon goes off in the air. There's a screen where they get their own name plastered.
Well, what they do is I thought it was creative what they did there.
No, it's very creative.
They put in a lot of – it's a creative movie too, because what they do is no matter whether it's a good guy or bad guy, one of his gimmicks is that it gives a visual eulogy of some sort to people who have died.
Yeah, just so if there's any part of you that wonders,
yeah,
they get it to a point where they'll show somebody alive and the scene just cuts and you see their name come up. You're like, oh well,
yeah, you know it's coming. They give you a scorecard,
but once it was all said and done, I kept thinking, man, this feels like it's an adaptation of a book. But there's probably more that explains some things. And then I thought to myself, there's something about this that makes me think, I bet I could see this movie. I don't know how it's going to be received here, but I bet if it was from a foreign country like Norway, like one of those Norwegian crime movies that plays at Fantastic Fest, everybody would love it. Only to get to the end and discover, yes, that's what it was.
Well, I had gone in hearing that they made a big deal about how this was this was a Norwegian film by the same director is the same one that does one. Was Stellan
Skarsgård plays the Liam Neeson.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I haven't seen the movie. You did.
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Because you could tell me what it's like, because I looked at it and I thought, wow, they are staying very close to certain shots that they did there, except they look like they had a bigger budget in this one. But they're staying very close to what they did to almost in the trailer, looking like they're doing a shot-for-shot remake.
Overdose.
Vi behöver inte narkoman.
Det säger du svär aldrig förrän.
Vad tänker ni göra?
Du tror det var ikke meningen at du skulle...
På Ingvar hadde med. Så det helt sant, han visste ingenting. Og nå skal jeg ta med.
Hva det for folk?
One of the things, I don't know how they would bring in Native American mobs or anything like that.
Well, so here's what they do. Because you're right about it. It's not quite shot for shot, but it is beat for beat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very faithful adaptation. It's just that it has more money. And it's slightly better, to be honest. I thought maybe I'd see the original. Because Cold Pursuit, I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I thought, well, if I watch the original, they probably have all the cool shit in there. No. Matter of fact, they've added things. And with the original, instead of the Native American mob, it was the Serbian mob, because they're in Norway.
Ah, gotcha.
So there, the Serbians are the, you know, they're the foreign mafia that's come in that they got to deal with.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, there's a lot of things that I really love about this movie. It got to a point where, you know, when we kept talking about Fargo, and then we kept talking about Taken, and then it dawned on me that, okay, this is Taken if the Coen brothers had got the script first.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe made their movie of somewhat that we see here, or made into an episode of Fargo that you see on TV.
Yeah, I kept thinking more like the TV series. They did a season of that.
Where the criminal is actually the good guy, mm-hmm. you know, going around taking out the other bad guys. But and I love another thing about it is, like with Fargo, I love the cinematography. Man, look, you know what, to all you future filmmakers out there, you want to do some good cinematography, just shoot something in the snow.
And make sure it does give you a lot to play with.
Yeah, and make sure that you kill a lot of people in the bloodiest way. So you can get that you can get that red plasma hitting that white powder. It's beautiful. But what they do here, man, they make it's in Denver. But they make Denver look like the Antarctic, or they are at times they make it look like
they make it look like Norway.
Make it look like Norway. Yeah. It's something, you know, sometimes it's really beautiful with these big modern homes, man. You know, the cinematography in this is amazing, and sometimes it's frightening when they have these blizzards going through, or when this gloomy looking dusk is coming over the landscape. It's definitely, you can look at that trailer and tell this dude had way more money than he had in the last one.
Right, and he made a better movie. It's a slightly better movie. I've watching it, I felt like, you know what, if he would have tightened some things, he could have made actually a much better movie. It's like he's trying to do the Coen brothers here, and, you know, succeeding more than not. But it's still one of those where, man, if they had done this, you wouldn't have questioned what kind of movie it was.
I agree, because for one, look, everybody, I know I say I love story. I know I want character development. I want characters to be – I want every character to be developed as much as they can. But not every character needs a subplot.
Right.
Now, you know, sometimes you just – you don't serve no purpose here. You know, you find standing in the back, maybe pulling the trigger. But they try to give these subplots, these weird, absurd subplots to some of these and quirky subplots to some of these characters that don't do anything but either make the movie too long, or – one of the things that brought the movie down a notch for me is that they introduce a character in a subplot just to have a convenient, coincidental way to end the movie. And I thought, man, this is way too convenient. I did not like the end.
Oh, you know what? What happened, I didn't mind, but I thought that's not a way to end this.
Yeah.
That could have been something. That's almost insignificant. It could have been something that just happened in the movie and didn't have to be here.
Yeah.
A thing about the original, one improvement is that those cops, they are just almost like a comedic thing, a comedy relief that show up twice and then don't really play an important part. And here, the police, they're in there a lot, but if you took them out, this movie would proceed as normal.
You
really don't need them. And you get recognizable actors for these roles, almost like you got them to agree to be in it, so you beefed up their part, but they don't really serve anything.
They're one of the people I'm talking about. I'm like, man, y'all didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Y'all just – you came in and almost like real life did an investigation and just disappeared.
Right.
Y'all, they really didn't do anything, man. They were useless in this movie. Yeah, it's a little too long, man. It's 2 hours. Could have been a real tight hour and a half, hour and 45 if you had taken some characters out and you don't need it. Now, like I said, I think it needed a stronger ending. I really liked this movie. I did. I liked it a lot. But I'd have to give it a matinee. I couldn't go full price.
Same here. And, you know, and that's what I paid for it. And I was like, okay, this was worth that. But it's just some things. I was like, man, if you could just get this back in the editing room, we could fix a lot of these problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just, you know, get that director to, you have to sit him down and go like, all right, man, I noticed you're darling and you did it before and it worked here. But maybe this time lose some of that.
And Liam Neeson says, just have me just meet more asses. That's all. Just have me kill more people. That's what you came to see. And in a way, I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm glad it's not taken. But, you know, y'all did come in and kind of just gank his movie away from him.
Well, you know. All things considered, maybe that's for the best.
It probably is. Probably is. Yeah. 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 But it's good, man. It's really the biggest thing that this movie has going for it is really pitching this as one movie and going in and seeing another.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe people walk out saying that's bullshit.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe it's just one that I thought that I might be getting a much worse movie than this. Because thinking it's going to be another Taken or The Commuter. You're like, all right, let's get this over with, and then you go, oh, there's actually a brain behind this and some craft.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about it the other day. I'm actually writing my script where somebody takes Liam Neeson's Amazon package. I thought, man, you know. He's killing people over like some socks or something. We're going to get it done, man. I'm going to work with him one day. If he doesn't kill me first.
It'll be him when he's old.
You remind me of someone. Shit.
Now that would be hilarious. The movie about you filming with a senile Liam Neeson. He's thinking, you're the black bastard who raped my friend, aren't you?
I don't know what kosh means, but is that one in your hand right now?
Died of a heroin overdose.
We didn't know our own son.
Kyle wasn't a druggie.
Sorry, but all the parents say that.
You're gonna have to say a few words.
Kyle's dead. Tell me what happened.
He got mixed up with some drug dealer. Viking. He likes hurting people.
What is it with all these nicknames? Speedo, Viking, Eskimo.
It's a gangster thing.
Did you have a nickname?
Wingman.